What is this?
I'm wondering that myself.
What happened to the bumper, man?
Oh, our bumper turned into, what, children's music?
Why?
How interesting. I wonder if it has something to do with the topic we're going to talk about tonight.
What are we talking about tonight?
Well, I was thinking it was discussed a long time ago in the old Ghostly Talk message boards.
Yeah.
And also a little bit in the new Ghostly Talk message boards. About children.
Oh, really?
And how children relate to the paranormal world and stuff like that. And then this new phenomena, well, it's not a new phenomena, but a newly recognized or a newly pushed phenomena of indigo children.
Yeah. Oh, so you want to talk about that then?
So, yeah, let's talk about indigo children and children and how it's perceived that they can see ghosts and stuff like that.
Okay.
A little easier. And, well, might
why
as well.
Not?
I
yeah,
mean, let's,
yeah.
let's make that our topic tonight.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be even more ill-prepared.
Sure.
Why not?
How can you... Yeah, I know. Well, you know, with Murphy visiting us and ZPR so often lately, yeah, I've had very little time to prepare, but
no.
I do know a few things, and I'd like to share them.
Yeah, definitely.
And I will. First of all, this is Ghostly Talk.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug. And I want to talk a little bit about, first, Zero Point Radio, because that's the network that we're broadcast on.
Yeah.
When we do our live broadcasts, Sundays from 7 till 9 Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
So Zero Point Radio is, of course, www.zeropointradio.com. And we're also broadcast then later in the week on ZPR. We're also broadcast on Moist FM. Moist FM, I don't know if they've got a direct link, but I do know that they go to, you know, if you go to www.live365.com
yeah.
and do a search for Moist FM, they come right up. And you can, you know, listen to Moist FM. They play us, you know, later in the week.
Just look for the schedule.
Yeah. And so Zero Point Radio has a couple of really cool things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they're getting away from the Live 365 thing, and they're going to a cluster club kind of organization. Yeah, yeah, I know. I do want to talk about this a little bit before the you know, we get into the meat of the topic. That's because the cluster club, I think it's a pretty exciting thing because it lets people, what it is, it's going to be a few people who, you know, you work very closely with the folks at ZPR. Because ZPR is just, ZPR itself right now, you know, even though it's got an organizational structure and things like that, it is basically a family of amateur broadcasters and a professional broadcaster or two thrown in the mix. And as well as, you know, a family of people who bring Zero Point Radio to you. So basically, you would be joining this family,
yeah.
and you would be, you know, part of this incredible little community, and it's growing, so little might not even describe it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the Cluster Club, what they're doing is, you would, if you've got bandwidth, so if you've got like a DSL line and you're able to run servers, or if you've got cable and you're able to run servers, or if you happen to have a T1 and you can run server programs, get with Burns. That Mr. Burns is the head honcho at mm-hmm. ZPR, and email him at zpr@cable1.net. That's cableone.net, and get in touch with him and see if. See if you can help, and we can help you in any way. The club's going to be fairly elite, I think. It'll be, like, you'll get extra, extra privileges and things like that. And we're going to do everything we can to make the Cluster Club a success. So, anyway, so that's about the Cluster Club. I also want to talk about anomalies.net. If you go to anomalies.net, www.anomalies.net, anomalies.net.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there, they have some pretty cool things. They've got chat rooms, for example. They also have a bulletin board system, a very active bulletin board system. So what happens is you go into there's like a forum/BBS link or something. It's something BBS.
Mm-hmm.
And you click on that link up at the top. That takes you to their very highly active bulletin board. And we've got, Zero Point Radio has a chat room kind of forum in there. So, hit it up.
Go there and talk it up.
See what's there. If you're listening to us and you're not in the chat rooms yet, get there.
Yeah.
You simply go to www.zeropointradio.com, click on interact, click on chat, make up a name, and join us in the chat. We're live. We're watching the chat room go on right now.
It's that easy.
Oh, yeah. Now, I know you want to talk about kids. Right, kids and psychic phenomena and ghosts and stuff. But, okay, one more thing. I went to probably the single most exciting meeting I've gone to all year.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. I went last night. I went with Will. I went. This was not a Ghostly Talk thing. This was a Michigan Ghostbusters thing. And if you didn't know, I'm also president, the current president of Michigan Ghostbusters. And Will is the vice president. So we were invited to go to this meeting. This meeting was hosted by the Ghost and Research Society. And there's a lady there, and she had invited us several months ago. And we said, sure, okay, we'll go. So we went.
Uh-huh.
It was phenomenal. It was fantastic. It was awesome. I had a blast. We talked about ghosts all night.
Oh, wow.
We talked about psychics all night. We talked about techniques. We talked about just everything you can think of, ghost hunter-wise, we talked about. They also had this really cool thing. Two of the folks from Ghost and Research Society, GRS, maybe?
GRS.
Anyway, two of the folks, they had made CDs of their pictures. And they put these CDs in like a DVD player or something like that, I don't know, and somehow it came up on the TV, on the television. So there was a lot of us huddled around the television,
mm-hmm.
and she was flipping through
track on the DVD player.
And describing these pictures.
Okay.
What an awesome way to present things, because there were actually pictures, quite a few pictures, and you've got these are all kinds of, some are professional ghost hunters, some of us are amateur ghost hunters, but we're pretty into it, right?
Yeah.
So we've been into this kind of field for a while. And there were a couple of pictures, quite a few pictures, I should say, where people would leap up out of whatever, couch or chair or whatever they're sitting on, and they'd run over to the TV set and start pointing things out. So I'm afraid we marked up Marilyn's TV set quite a bit with our fingerprints. I'm sure she had to, dig out the Windex, But a couple of her pictures, even I was like, oh my gosh, these rock. These are totally awesome shots. And they had some pretty cool stuff. And that's a great way to present pictures to a large group. It was something I learned last night. So I had a blast meeting. I might as well mention who was there. Ghost of Ghost and Research Society. It's www.ghostresearcher.com.
Okay.
There was there was a couple of folks from the Michigan Ghost Watchers, which talk about a cool URL. www.ghostwatchers.org. I really like that. And phenomenal people. Then of course we were there, MichiganGhostbusters.com. And the Vortex was there. There's links to the Vortex and MGB hang around sometimes.
Yeah.
So you can go to MichiganGhostbusters.com and there's links in our links section and
yeah.
stuff like that. We're trying to get a... Do we already have a banner for Vortex?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay. So, cool. And so you just click on banners and stuff on the links page for the Vortex because they've got a long name. Anyway, the... I had a great time. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Ghost Watchers. Thank you, Vortex. It was an awesome experience, and I do hope we do that again somewhere, somehow, sometime, because that was an important event that happened last night.
Maybe I can make it next time, too.
Well, this particular one
mm-hmm.
was for...
I see where you're going already, and I am not going to stand for it.
You weren't okay. invited.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
I know, but right, I have to say, though, there were several people there who are like, oh my gosh, you're the Ghostly Talk Fellows. And I'm like, well, I am, and Will does not. You know? So yeah, we're the Ghostly Talk Fellows, but we're Michigan Ghostbusters, you know, tonight.
Yeah.
A couple of folks had actually listened to Ghostly Talk.
Good.
Why?
True.
I don't know. I mean, people like to listen to us for 2 hours a week. I don't know why, but, you know, why not?
Why not? Yeah, we're also there on Sunday night.
So that's all. Oh, like have fun or something. I know. All right. So let's see what we got. Oh, and coming up after Ghostly Talk, they'll probably do the replay of Ghostly Talk, and then right after that is Clyde Lewis.
Yeah.
So Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis is coming up on a live Ground Zero coming up. You know what? Is that 10 o'clock? 8, 7 to 9? 11 o'clock Eastern Time.
Yeah.
Right here on Zero Point Radio.
Yeah.
So. That's enough business stuff. I want to get into this about kids and ghosts and psychic abilities and all this kind of stuff. We also want to hear from you.
Yes. The number is 1-888. It's 888, right?
Yep.
I'm like the door, like sitting in the corner today.
We'll get into it when we get into our topic. I had to mention all that stuff though.
No.
I mean, it's like all this
cool
stuff is going on. I got my list. See?
Hey, see the list.
I got my list, and I'm like, all these exciting things are happening. So I had to talk about them.
No,
but you
I'm
know,
just,
yeah, we do want audience participation. We want you to call in with your thoughts and.
Let me try this again, right?
Yeah, cool. What you got?
And the number is 1-888-520-1969.
Awesome. I'll clip that out and put it in a promo.
I pushed my voice way low on that. I'm going to be hoarse for a week now.
So, those of you that didn't write it down, 1-888-520-1969.
All right.
Call in and talk to us about kids.
Kids.
We're going to talk about kids. We're going to talk about kids who have psychic abilities. We're going to talk about kids who are just odd. Kids who were diagnosed with ADD.
Mm-hmm.
That mysterious phenomenon that didn't exist when I was a kid.
No, for some reason it didn't exist when I was a kid either, man.
Yeah, and I don't think we're that old. I mean, yes, we are not the current generation. We are, you know, an older generation, but at the same time, these things just spring up. It's a lot like the Alberta Clipper. No, I'm serious. I am serious.
No, you're right.
I'm sitting around one day about, probably 5 or 6 years ago, and suddenly they blamed all the weather patterns on Alberta Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was like, you know, and I have many friends in Canada, you know, like the Windsor Ghost Hunter Society fellow, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Hi, Kyle.
And we've got, so we have friends in Canada, and of course, Alpha, who runs the chat rooms at Zero Point Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's like the opper kind of person. I don't know what they call him, but he's god of IRC in, you know, for Zero Point Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in Canada. I mean, so I've got all these contacts in Canada, yet. About five, six, 7 years ago or so, the meteorologists around here decided to blame everything on Alberta Clippers. Everything. I mean, it didn't matter. If it was hot, it was an Alberta Clipper. If it was cold, it was an Alberta Clipper. If it was snowing, it was an Alberta Clipper. If it wasn't, it was normal Michigan weather or something. But it was like Alberta Clippers were everything. And now, of course, that's died out.
Yeah.
I hope that they finally realize that, maybe this new invented term is we better kill it before...
A lot of self-made hype?
Yeah, before a lot of people start not liking Alberta, Canada. But what happens is this ADD syndrome that's just, like, popped up, you know, a lot like the schizotypal syndrome
mm-hmm.
that will pop up for us, it's, like, new, it's, like, invented, but what it does, it describes kids who are, you know, well, either hyperactive or lethargic. Kids who are, you know, not... I don't know. What does it describe, anyway? I mean, it describes kids...
There's a lot of controversy around it. You know, people... I mean, this has been going on for years. This was going on when me and you were young folks also.
ADD?
ADD's been around for a long time. It really has. I mean, in the last 10 years, I think they gave something a name. Well, what I'm talking about is odd children. Let's just put it under that umbrella right now. Odd children. And there's an actual article that we're gonna talk about later on that actually talks about this, where, you know, you have an odd child. Well, he's a special child. That's what a lot of people say. And we're not saying we believe it one way or the other. We're going to present this, both sides of it, and make your own decisions based on that.
I'm 35, going on 36.
Yeah.
When I was in elementary school, they did have a special ed thing.
Well, yeah.
The word special has been around forever.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
ADD.
Well, yeah, the term itself, yeah.
Is new.
I agree with you on that.
It's got to be new.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And so what they're saying is that these ADD kids, right,
uh-huh,
which, of course, is an invented thing,
mm-hmm,
right? These ADD kids are, need, controlling or something? Because they're feeding them Paxil and...
drugs.
Yeah, I mean...
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we sure did. You know, how come everything relates? Again, yet again.
Everything relates. Everything relates.
Yeah, but we've got, you know, these kids with ADD,
mm-hmm,
there's another take on that, and that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
The other take is the link between ADD and these special qualities of these kids.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that now, of course, a lot better name for them, I think, is the one that the paranormal community has come up with,
mm-hmm,
and they're calling them indigo children.
Yeah,
and the word indigo is a color. Right,
mm-hmm,
purplish blue.
Yeah,
and it
that represents the color in their aura, a strong indigo in their aura.
Right, it's a major component of their aura is,
mm-hmm,
this indigo, and
which is actually the level of the sixth chakra.
The third eye,
mm-hmm,
kind,
yeah,
of thing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah. It represents a lot of things. It represents all kinds of good things.
Yeah.
This indigo color. And, ADD, when you say that, that's bad.
Well, yeah.
You know,
that's the other side of it. Well, what we should, just to get people on, I mean, we're talking about indigo children is definitely going to be a big part of this show tonight. We know that. But why don't we just touch on, just to start
Let's
off
do
with,
that.
Just to, well, just to start off with, no, what I mean is here is, we're talking about children and ghosts, ghosts and children, and then the psychic abilities that will relate to that. When you were a child, did you have an imaginary friend, Doug?
Not necessarily an imaginary friend, but I did have a very very rich creativity streak, yes.
Okay.
So, but it was not a physical thing that I could see, but I more was immersed in books,
yeah,
and things like that. So I was very creative otherwise, but I did not have...
Yeah.
Physical.
Neither
looking.
Did I. Neither,
okay,
did I. I was too busy doing other stuff, too. So that's what kind of... I know... I hear about so many children that, with the imaginary friend syndrome and all this, and I'll never understand that, because obviously I'm not a kid anymore, but also because I never had that... Now, I'm not going to call it a problem, but I never had that issue growing up, either. I always had something else to do where I didn't... Well, I always had a lot of friends, too.
Yeah, I had physical friends as well.
Tons of friends. Actually... What, are you going to say something?
No.
You breathe. What are you doing? Shadowlands.net. I'm sure you all are familiar with it.
Oh, that's the penultimate site, yeah.
We got a call coming in? What?
Watch the phone.
Oh, okay.
Watch the phone. Okay, I'm watching the phone.
Well, here's how the phone works, by the way. 1-888-520-1969. When you call in, it'll ring. And or be busy. One or the
ring.
Other.
Yeah.
And if you're hearing a ring, you are next. There's one line into the Haunted Basement studio. So if you're hearing it ring, let it ring.
Yeah, let it ring. You'll get through to us one way or the other.
Yeah, once we're done with a thought or a paragraph,
yeah,
or whatever, we'll answer.
But Tina from the Shadowlands, she's a writer for the Shadowlands. I don't have her last name, which probably she don't want to put that up there for good reason. But if you go to the Shadowlands.net and look for like children and ghosts or something like that, Tina wrote this excellent article on children and psychic phenomena and ghosts and whatnot.
Cool.
this really ties a lot of what we just talked about a second ago together. I'm just going to pull a couple pieces out of here just to give you an idea of what's going on.
Excellent.
Right? One theory is that children have not had... Well, here's let's start out like this, okay? Because I'm a dummy and I didn't highlight the right thing. Okay, we talked about having imaginary friends, laying in bed by yourself at night. Mom, I'm scared. There's a monster in the bed.
Or in the closet.
Or in the closet,
yeah,
or wherever, you
in
know.
In my room, yeah.
You know, the point she's making here, which is excellent, which is I'm gonna elaborate a little bit more on, is that, and she even said, because she's a mother also, I'm guilty of this too. We spent so much time as parents cutting our kids off from that, assuring them that there's no such thing as ghosts, no such thing as monsters, no such thing as any type of paranormal activity, so to say.
So you're okay. Programming your kid to turn off.
Now, no, wait, now, yeah,
all you, this. All
exactly,
this imagination
yeah.
or reality that's out there that they're perceiving.
Yeah, I'm gonna read right from this. This is exactly what we're talking about. Some parents unknowingly start to teach and train their children at a very young age to block these images. They do it out of protection and misunderstanding of the situation. How many parents have tucked their little ones back into bed with the words they thought were reassuring? There are no such thing as ghosts. You just had a bad dream. It wasn't real. It was just your imagination. I think most parents are guilty of this, including myself. How many parents are guilty of telling their children that their imaginary friend is not real, maybe not realizing that that not only is that friend real, but a ghost? You guys catching the point here? Okay.
Yep, we got a call. Let's take it.
We got a call?
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Yep.
This is Ghosting.com. May I help you?
Hello?
This is Ghostly Talk.
This is Ghostly Talk.
You guys.
Who is this?
It's Muriel.
Who is this?
This is Sheila.
Oh, hi, Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on?
Well, I met you and Will last night.
Well, Sheila is from the Michigan Ghost Watchers.
Oh, okay.
So, so it's ghostwatchers.org.
Okay.
So, hey, Sheila, what's going on?
Not much. I'm checking out your station here. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, did you have trouble, like, hearing it and stuff like that? Or because I know we're switching over to a new streaming methodology. Was it difficult to get on, or did you...
Yeah, I ended up having to get off of AOL. I went through AOL first, got off of that, and then...
You're on AOL?
Go on through the Internet Explorer. So I was that way.
Yeah, Internet Explorer is a lot better at handling the newer technologies than the AOL browser.
Well, what version of AOL is out now? Like 50,000 or 50,000.0?
I know.
I'm sorry, I'm ripping on AOL.
No, yeah, this is a no rip on AOL show anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sheila.
So, yeah, we're talking about children and ghosts and indigo children and things like that. What you got?
Well, I have my little cousin who is, well, at the time that this was going on, he was about 4 years old, and he would stay at Grandma's house quite a bit, which is my aunt, and it's in Belleville, and he would actually start talking to the air, so to speak, and she actually got three ghosts in her house, which are deceased relatives or ancestors that actually built the house and lived in the house all their life, and just never left the house after they passed over. But he was able to see them and talk to them. Apparently it was what would be like a great-great-grandfather that actually built the house and would watch over him and everything.
How old is he now?
Now I think he's about 8 or 9.
And is it still occurring?
Pardon me?
Is it still happening? Like, is he still tuned in?
I'm not really sure, because I've only seen him a few times. It's not like a very close family type thing. But at the time, my aunt is really big into psychics and everything. And
well, that's good to hear.
So she just let him keep talking while his mother would tell him, stop talking, and, you know, you've got imaginary friends, you can't have that. But... his grandma, you know, kept encouraging it and everything. So it was pretty interesting, the stories that I had heard.
So he's been actually, you know, like there's forces in his life trying to program him against exploring the possibilities.
Right.
And then there's other forces in his life telling, you know, and not encouraging, but allowing it to happen.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, that's exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's just what we were talking about before you called. Because we're finding that a lot of experts are saying that parents and things, they try to do the right thing.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to do the right thing by saying, you know, there's no such thing as ghosts, or you've imagined that, or you had a bad dream, or, you know, things like that. And they're trying to do the right thing, but it may not actually be the right thing.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you believe, though, too. I mean, that we're talking about a widespread. I mean, there's not just one set of parents. There's billions of parents on this planet, and we all believe differently, too.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, we just can't say here, you know what, don't tell your kids that there's no such thing as ghosts. Don't tell your kids that there's no such thing as spirits, that there very well may be spirits around your bed as you sleep at nighttime. Honestly, if I was a parent, I'm not going to lie here, if I was a parent, I know for a fact that I would probably keep my kid up all night long for 4 months. And I want to get some sleep, man, all right? I mean,
yeah,
that's what it comes down to. It's like, look, okay, I got to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning here, kid. Go to sleep. There's no such thing as ghosts. And maybe out of desperation, out of frustration, that may happen. Not saying that it's wrong either, though. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different beliefs. I know I'm sure there's certain families out there that do believe that there are spirits and ghosts around them, and they may raise their children differently, and that's fine. That's good. I think that's wonderful.
Well, what's the proper way to, you know, as your child is growing up, you know, I mean, do you let them watch the scary movies or keep that away from them?
Scary movies in Hollywood? No. I wouldn't agree with that myself. I think Hollywood does not necessarily always reflect reality anyway.
Rarely reflects reality.
Yeah. So I don't. I think that the scary movies and stuff are. I think those are particularly probably damaging to kids. I think though that sharing ghost stories. I mean, because you're going to sit down with your young ones and tell them stories and read them stories. Why not have one of the books like the Kettle Camp book?
Yeah, that's a very good guide.
It's a scholastic book, and it's not
wordy. It's not hard to read.
And
it reads very easy.
Mean or scary? It's mystical.
Another thing too, though, is what ages are we talking about here exactly?
I mean, just children. You know,
just children.
Probably
let's say
3 to 8, 3 to 10.
Yeah.
Whatever.
See, the thing that I would have to say about that too would be. Okay, I'm a parent, and I want to try something different here with my child. I want to, as opposed to going, there are no ghosts, you're fine, you're safe in your bedroom, don't worry about anything. I want to tell my child, look, I believe myself that there may be things outside of the physical realm that are going on. And if you see something, acknowledge that. Is a child that's 3 to 8 years old, 3 to 10 years old, really going to understand, really going to be able to take something like that in?
Well, no, but at least it doesn't deprogram them.
Exactly.
Okay, because when you're born, one of the theories, and do you know more about this than I do? I really, really hope so. If one of the theories is that children are born pretty much wide open.
Yeah, that's the big thing here.
Sheila.
What broke? Sheila, you there?
Yeah.
Sheila!
Do you believe that? Children are born in general, not just your nephew, but in general, they're born more wide open.
Oh yeah, I totally believe that. But then you have to also look at the other side of it. Are you going to keep your kids away from TV? Because I mean, obviously that's an influence. You know, I mean, look at the commercials that they put on TV. You know, there's a lot of things out in this world that's going to just suck it right out of them, and you know. The beliefs of society, you know, and it's just like, how do you protect your kids from society and let them think openly and think what they want? Also, I mean, I think that there's so many different fears along with that. Nobody likes, you know, I've never known a kid that couldn't sleep in complete total darkness for fear that something's going to come out from underneath the bed.
And that's when a guy who invented the night light got rich.
Oh, I love nightlights. I love those, like, glow ones, the ones that glow blue or green.
But, I mean, your kid, grandma or grandpa might be paying you a visit tonight, but it's okay.
Yeah.
And they get a feeling on the side of their cheek or tucked into bed by something that they can't see. What's going to instill the fear in them more?
Well, what?
Not seeing it or...
But the fear is going to result from them being told that this is bad, that this is scary, and it's not. This don't exist.
Yeah,
this don't exist. That's where the fear would come from.
Whatever you think happened is not happening.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
And then it
anyway,
happens, and that's
and
very
like,
confusing for a 5 or 6 year old kid right
it's
now.
Not supposed to be happening. Yeah. Well, what about this?
Okay.
What? And I'm not a parent, but what if you told your kids every time they had a bad dream, or if they feel that they have. You know, seen their, a deceased relative or just a random ghost or
yeah.
something. What if you told them, here in this house, you are protected. You are safe in this house from anything that can harm you. Instead of saying, this does not exist.
Well, I'm sure a lot of parents say that already. Look, you're safe. You're safe in your house.
I mean, okay, you can say that, yeah, you're protected from anything in this house, but what happens one day when you get a burglar that comes into the house and then the child does not feel protected anymore in the house? Isn't that sort
yeah.
of a contradiction? I mean, because...
On the physical realm, yeah, but I mean, those two would tie together in a situation like that by saying, look, bottom line here, kid, you're safe in this house.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, terrorism, for example. I don't think I would want to live my life... saying things like, you're safe in this house and then be proved wrong. I would rather say you're safe in this house and then, feel safe in this house.
Yeah.
And if a burglar does happen, that's actually an aberration.
It ties right in with ghost hunting, though. What do we talk about all the time on this show? Look, you're going out to hunt for ghosts. You're going to a cemetery. Nothing dead's going to hurt you.
Right.
The living people are going to hurt you.
It's
those are the ones you have to worry about.
It's the living people.
Same
living.
Exact thing.
Yeah.
It all ties together. So, I mean, it's very... the way I look at it, though, is, I mean, it depends on who you are. I personally, I'm not a parent. You're not a parent. Either is Will.
I know.
So
I
it's very difficult for us to really sit here. I mean, what credibility do we have?
Well, we don't have credibility, but that's why we've got the phone line.
Yeah, exactly. Sheila, do you have any kids?
Can I ask a question? No, who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, God, no. Oh, no. That's one of those. Never. No.
Okay.
All right. We'll end up with somebody.
Offer, I don't need any.
All right, then.
But I've got a question. Who's the gentleman that's got the kids?
I don't have any kids.
Not me. No, we're talking about kids that we read about on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, let's say, are there any parents in this?
On the show?
Thank heavens.
No.
You think we'd be doing this if we were parents?
Well, okay, well, I guess what my question is,
yeah.
is just reading some of the rules and regulations for some of the other ghost hunting groups that I found on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you must be over the age of 18. One says you got to be over the age of 21. Well, if one of these, what I don't understand, why would it not be safe to take your 8, 9, or 10-year-old child on a ghost hunt so that they could better understand and possibly learn from that experience as well?
That would be great, but what I would say is if you're in a cemetery at 12 o'clock at night with an 8 or 9 year old child and the cop does show up there just to check up on you guys, he might have a couple questions about that. Now, in the daytime, though...
Why does it have to be at night?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You just finished my sentence. If in the daytime, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing is that, because I'm current president of Michigan Ghostbusters, one of the things that we're doing throughout the summer is we're organizing several events for whole families to show up.
Yeah.
We're going to have a picnic and things like that. So we are, trying to bring, be a family-friendly organization.
And members of MGB, I don't know one set member who has kids that hasn't discussed this with their children, presented it to them, or even taken them out at one time.
Right. As a matter of fact, a lot of the parents in MGB that I know of, they do sometimes take their kids on scouting missions. So it does that kind of thing does happen. Yes,
I firmly believe that if you take, I mean, speaking as a non-parent, but hopefully if I am a parent someday, can see that this is our passion, our interest. It's obviously going to work into our children's lives if we ever have children someday.
Right.
I would like my kids to not be ignorant of this. I hate to use that word, but I would like them to have some knowledge to go, look, I don't want you to be brainwashed. I don't want you to be an automaton. I want you to think about these things. I don't want it to take over your life where that's all you do, but I want you to think about these things, that it isn't just as simple, I think, as there's no such thing as ghosts. Go to sleep. And that's what we've been talking about, God, for the last year.
Right.
Is that, look, think about these things. And the same thing goes for your children, too. You can't harm a child by doing that. I really don't think you can. So, I mean, it depends on who you are, though, really. I mean, that's what I'm concerned with, is there's all these parents out there, and they're all going to think differently.
Right.
Dead air is our friend.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, what I want to do is, after the break,
yeah,
I have heard there's a war on, and it's not the one with the Middle East. It's not the one, you know, with about nuclear arms and stuff.
Yeah.
There's an ethereal war on. We're going to talk about that after the break. Yeah. And it all ties in with kids and Indigo Children as well. So we're going to talk about that after the break.
All right,
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chain, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get Resmerize.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerize. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
We'll be right back.
glow stick.
Yeah,
hey, come on.
Hey, hey, I'm getting me a glow stick. Man, that rocked. I totally love that song. Oh, I never heard it before until tonight.
Neither did I. So. Neither did I. I don't know where it came from. It's pretty groovy, though.
Do we have to wait till it's done?
Okay, we're talking about kids.
Well, actually, I want to talk about the larger picture.
Okay.
Do you remember when Stacy was on?
Yeah.
She told me, we were sitting in a Big Boys, and she told me that there's a war going on. She said the angels are fighting a war on our behalf in the ethereal realms. And what it is this is what she was told by her spirit guides and angel guides, is that the, how to explain it? I wish I had taped it, because then she could just tell you herself. Humanity as a race, or as a people, okay? And I don't mean race, like, you know, different kinds of humans, but I mean as a race of human beings, you know, the human species, no matter what, you know, creed or color or anything like that, no matter what, the whole human species is at a crossroads. And we're going to be elevated spiritually. Okay?
Okay.
We're at that point of our development where the next thing is spiritual development.
Yeah, and keep going, go ahead.
And what happens is there's forces in the universe that want and need this to happen because this is the natural progression of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's other forces in the universe that don't want this to happen because that's the natural progression of things.
Okay.
And it's against their own interests because they are the dark and evil forces, right? So you've got your good forces wanting to keep the natural progression of the universe going and progressing, you know, the natural progression of humanity and our place in the universe, continuing on. And you've got the evil forces that don't want that to happen because that would throw a huge monkey wrench, or R.F. Burns' tire iron, into the mix, okay? So, what has been postulated is that our natural vibrational levels, because everything... I visited several psychics, you know, since starting Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
I visited some psychics. I've done, you know, some research and things like that. And the, evidently, because I don't know, because I can't see or feel these vibrations or anything yet, but we work on a vibrational energy level kind of thing, and then earthbound spirits work on a different vibrational energy level kind of thing,
okay.
And then spirits that have crossed over and gone to what we think of as heaven, they're on an even higher vibrational spiritual energy level thing, and then there's angels who are even higher, and there's the universe, which is even higher. I mean, there's this vibrational energy. It's a vibration. It's a something like that. Yes, it's like this vibrational energy going on, right?
Yeah.
And we operate at, you know, a very pretty low one. So what happens is when psychics, the ones that I've talked to, they say that their vibration, they have to bring up their vibrations. They have to bring up their vibrational level in order to talk to their spirit guides, in order to talk to, you know, deceased folks, in order to talk to, you know, tune in to the rest of the informational sources that they tune into.
Yeah.
So what is happening with there's this phenomenon now that's been identified as indigo children.
Yeah.
Pretty much anyone born after 1972, 85% of the people between, or kids, or children, or infants, or whatever they are when they're born.
Yeah.
They're 85% of them around 1972 were indigo. They had this indigo color. And, you know, color is directly a visible vibrational energy. Because, light is an energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got wave and... Oh, anyway. So, I don't want to get into physics.
It's quite a scientific term of that.
Phobos will let us know.
Uh-huh.
But the light has this energy to it, and the certain colors have their own, wavelength.
Uh-huh.
And those are actual measurable, scientifically measurable wavelengths. And indigo is at you know, one end of the spectrum. Isn't it like RGBiv or something?
Oh,
red, God. Green, blue.
The color spectrum.
Wait, yeah. It's RGBiv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. That's the color spectrum.
Yeah.
So what happens is the did I mention yellow? I don't remember. Anyway, red, orange, yellow.
Yellow is a boring color anyway. Who uses that?
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. So what happens is it's at a I guess higher wavelength. I don't know. Uh-huh. I didn't look. I just, you know, remember. I'm, this is all like, you know,
yeah, color spectrum,
junior high stuff.
Yeah.
so what happens is as the psychics raise their vibrational levels, they can tune into the universe's information sources, whether it be their, you know, like the Akashic Records, if they see that, or their spirit guides, or whatever they, however they do it, they get their information somehow, and it's done with this vibrational level raising kind of thing. And I've read that in several books,
yeah.
And I've also talked to several psychics, and that seems to be a common thread among the things that I hear, or at least the way I interpret what they tell me.
Yeah.
So, at one of the highest vibrational levels, that of angels, them and their counterparts are at war right now, trying to allow allow the humans to progress to the next level, which is more spiritual. I heard this independently. I heard this from Stacy first,
yeah.
And she's the one who does the toning. By the way, I'd love to get her back on the show. I heard this on from Stacy first. Then
yeah.
I actually read it in the chat rooms, the Zero Point Radio chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And one lady was having a particularly difficult time one night, and she started talking about this exact same kind of thing. She actually said there's a war going on. And she didn't mean, you know, the common wars, like, you know, those human level wars. She meant an ethereal realm war.
Yeah.
Now, the indigo in the children's aura is this vibrational energy, okay, that they're giving off, that they are eliciting,
uh-huh.
From their souls, from whatever it is that makes them human and mobile and thinking, okay,
mm-hmm.
this indigo thing, and they're called indigo children because of the, you know, that color that's in their aura.
Aura.
And we covered that in the first half hour, but what's common among these children are certain characteristics. And we got off on attention deficit disorder. We got off on a couple of other things. But these...
I got a whole list here.
All right, give me the list, because
okay.
That's going to fit right into what I'm saying.
Well, we talked about ADD being a common trait or a common name that's been given to these kids.
Right.
We'll leave that one alone. There's a few traits. You could... If parents... Listen close here, because this may be something you might want to deal with. Here's the first trait. They come into the world with a feeling of royalty and often act like it. Okay?
Oh, this is the same list that I read.
Oh, yeah.
Keep reading.
Right.
Yeah.
This can be found right on this particular list. You can go to www.indigochild.com. Excellent list. It's right on the front page, I think. Also, before I go any further on that, I want to make sure I cite... Oh, damn it, I'll do it in a minute. Don't look at me like that!
You swore on the radio.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I apologize to any young children out there listening to the show right now. You should not speak like that, okay? But believe in ghosts. Next thing. They have a feeling of deserving to be here, and are surprised when others don't share that same feeling. Self-worth is a big issue. They often tell the parents who they are. They have difficulty with absolute authority. Authority with explanation or choice. They simply will not do certain things. For example, waiting in line is difficult for them. They get frustrated with systems that are ritually oriented and don't require creative thought. They often see better ways of doing things, both at home and in school, which makes them seem like system busters, non-conforming to any system. They seem antisocial unless they are with their own kind. If there are no others of the like consciousness around them, they often turn inward, feeling like no other human understands them. School is often extremely difficult for them socially. They will not respond to guilt discipline. Wait till your father gets home and finds out what you did. They are not shy in letting you know what they need. Now, that's pretty in-depth. I mean, there's a lot of words going on there. But parents, think about this. I mean, does your child act this way? Do they have a problem conforming? Do they have a problem just working? So just go with it. This is the best way to do it. Let's go. I don't care. No, they have a problem with this. They think they have a better way. Whether they're right or wrong, they think they have a better way to do things. And they feel they can voice their opinion as they want, when they want, however they want to. That's for a young child.
Well, yeah, there was, in that list that you just read, I don't know, I was typing in the chat rooms, because, you know, www.zeropointradio.com, click on internet, click on chat, make up a name, get in the room, talk to us. Anyway, did that mention that they were intuitive, and did that list also mention that they, one of the things in the list that I read, it said that they were intuitive. And
not on this list.
Okay,
no.
And another thing that I had read, and it must have been a very similar expanded list, was that they, I can't even put it into words, so I'm not going to mention that, never mind. But they're more intuitive, they are more, like, they can feel other people's emotions. So they're a little bit more sensitive to other people. And that's like the psychic side of indigo children, because what they're saying is that indigo children are basically the next level of evolution of humans. The site that I was reading also had something about the you could be a 50-year-old indigo child, even though it started happening like with full strength around 1982 or something like that. That's when people like really stood up and took notice. Oh my gosh, all these kids with, you know, blue in their auras who are acting like this, who all of a sudden are, you know, ADD and have to be put on, kid tranquilizers.
Kid tranquilizers.
The phenomenon started long ago.
Yeah.
And people who are more intuitive, people who are, you know, not rebellious but don't conform, that's been happening for a long time, but evidently now it's happening on a grander scale.
Yeah, of course. Now, that list that I read, also, I want to make sure I get these guys into the show here. There's a book actually called The Indigo Children.
Yes, there is.
It's by Lee Carroll.
Yep.
And he's a channeler for an entity he calls Cryon.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, Jan Tober.
Okay. Well, what happens is what's interesting.
I just want to make sure we get that on here, because, I mean, that's where that list came
and
from.
And that's really cool. So, yeah, go to Amazon.com and
buy it.
Yeah, get that book. it's definitely something that people are noticing all of a sudden, indigo children. But
there's another side to it, though, too.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about. I mean, really, in a nutshell, we're talking about rebellion here too.
Right,
that's a big part of it.
Are these bad kids? Okay, there's a great question. Are they just bad kids? They're rebellious. They're independent. They're free thinkers. Are they, you know, until they're programmed? They're you know, are these really bad kids? Probably not. I mean, probably that society hasn't changed enough.
Well,
yet.
To fit their needs.
Well, maybe California, but we're in the United States, everyone. But it's like the society is not very accepting.
Well, I know, just growing up personally, there were certain things that you just couldn't do. And I know my parents growing up, from discussions with them, there were certain things you just couldn't do and say also, I should note. And this, I don't want to go off on too far of a tangent with this, but kids have a bit, they have a very loud voice now. They have a lot louder of a voice than they used to, like when me and you were growing up.
Yeah, you don't speak until you're spoken to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, that leads to other problems. I want to divorce my parents.
That's ridiculous.
Please, yeah.
Tiffany or whoever. No.
Yeah.
Was it Tiffany or was
it? Tiffany.
It was either Tiffany or like Brooke Shields or somebody like that. It was some children's stars.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But really, these are independent kids. These kids have no problem telling you what they want. I'm here. That's a little conceited, but, you know, he's a kid.
Based on that description, they think that they're here for,
yeah,
you know, they're royalty. You know?
But they also have a problem with
authority.
They're antisocial, and that makes it, I mean, obviously, I said it. I mean, that's an obvious point, though. I mean, they don't feel comfortable around people that aren't in the like consciousness of them. Well, how many kids are in the like consciousness of them? Statistically,
well,
you know, that's a smaller number.
Right. They're saying, though, now that let me untie my tongue.
Okay.
The statistic I read was 95% of children born nowadays are indigo children. I have a hard time believing
that. How do they prove that?
I have absolutely no clue. And I really think some people are saying 99%. I don't think it's quite like that.
If that's the case, we're on the brink of a revolution.
Yeah, and
we don't even know what we're stepping into right now.
Yeah,
and if Stacy is right, because another thing when we had that discussion,
well,
Stacy
had Mintaka.
Yeah,
Mintaka 20.
Stacy, when we had that conversation, I remember that pretty well along with you. One of the big things that's coming up here, what's going on, is that we are at a spiritual crossroad as a race of people, black, white, green, yellow, purple, whatever color you are. Don't matter. The whole planet is on the brink of that. The thing is that we're being looked down on by other beings. This is what she's been. I'm going to tell you what these beings are. The Pleiades. That's what they call them. That was the name of the beings. The Pleiades.
Is that what she said?
Yes, that's exactly what she said.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't remember that part.
And they are watching over us. Now, this is just...
Do you know, next time I talk to Stacey, I'm going to sit and take notes. Because she was really informative.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't see, touch, taste, feel, hear any of these things any of this thing where she gets her information.
Yeah.
But it's phenomenal stuff to think about.
Oh, yeah.
And to wonder about and to see, you know, if there's anything I can do to help, you know.
Yeah. We were talking about chakras last week and our crown.
The crown chakra.
And how humans, I mean, on average, you know, a tall human is what, about 5'11", 6 foot tall? That's a rather tall person.
Except for Will.
Except for Will. Will's he's
8 foot nine or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
But our crown will make us 10 foot tall in reality.
Yes.
Our crown will make us 10 foot tall. That's another real important thing she talked about. The Pleiades are watching over us as a race of people. And they're monitoring us and going, are they ready for this yet? Are they ready for this yet? That's the big thing that I got from her conversation.
I thought the Pleiades was a star cluster. Or something like that. I thought Pleiades. Yeah, Pleiades is a constellation or something.
Nope. Well, yeah, it could be a constellation, but it could also be a race of people too.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding you on this. I've had private conversations too.
Well, you know Cece a lot better than I.
Yeah. And
but,
I probably shouldn't be saying it on the air, but you know.
Well, no, she was your friend originally. That's how she even came on the show.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the big things she talked to me about, was that we are being watched over by. It's a spiritual race,
mm-hmm.
and they're watching us as far as this crossroad.
Oh, they're not physical people. Like, they're not UFO people.
No, no, that's not, yeah. That,
aliens.
I'm sorry, I should have clarified
okay,
that.
Okay, so these
no.
are more like on a
spiritual
realm.
Yeah.
These are, okay.
They're watching over us, and that's where the crossroad is at right now, because they're getting ready to go, okay, are these people ready for this yet? Are they ready to evolve and become 10 foot tall, physically? Because right now, our crown, you can't see it. We were looking at the ceiling last weekend. Where's my crown at? Where'd it go? But if we evolve to this next realm or level of spiritualism, we will all be standing 10 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity or no gravity, we'll all be standing 10 foot tall. So that's something to think about. I know it's a little out there, but that's the conversation we had with her though. That was the big issue about, and that's what's going on according to Stacy.
So
remember that.
So the indigo children.
Yeah. Did I just completely blow that bit apart?
No, that was awesome, right. Because that totally fits in.
Okay.
Are they the next incarnation?
I was thinking about.
Is it real? I mean...
Is anything real on this show?
Well,
no, that's exactly, that's what I was getting... I always forget my point. That's what I was getting back to. Maybe this is 95%, 99%?
Well, that's what some
that's
people
just,
are...
That's everybody. That's just about...
Everybody who is born now, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's
born now, they are...
Indigo
evolved,
children are
but, I mean,
evolved
okay.
or have more empathy and...
Physically, and, what have we went through as a species? And we've all seen the Neanderthal chart. I'm standing straight up. Look at me. I'm a human being. Is this the next level for us, though? Is this the next step on the ladder? That's something to think about. Or not.
Well, that's what they're claiming. That's what's being claimed.
That's what I'm thinking about. Is I'm putting this all together now from
mm-hmm.
what Stacey told me and what you're saying.
Well, that's why I wanted to lay this on you, because I didn't even tell you about the Stacey thing and the war in the heavens. As a matter of fact, you guys, you miss a lot of the show when we go to break.
Yeah.
Because he's like, what? What war? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You sprung that one out. I mean, I do that enough to you anyway, so I deserve it.
But now you know what, and you see how it fits in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I understand it now. Why don't we take a quick break?
All right.
Okay, because I'm burned out here. I need more Pepsi. We'll be right back.
Cool.
Get some pop. Go to the bathroom.
Yep. And we'll be back.
A question for you. What do you get when you put a woman who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in a sanitarium, you get Resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can Resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been Resmerized.
On that phone thing, mostly talk.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think I finally got it. I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah, what's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Let me write this down. It's 1-888-520-1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though. We'll talk to you later.
Cool. Catch
up. All right.
Bye.
MrOlaf.com. See what you've been missing out on.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Services such as web and pop-free email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOlaf.com. That's www.MROLAF.com.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Alrighty.
We're back.
Sorta.
I'm exhausted. Let's cut this show short.
Well, we're on a Diet Pepsi, man.
I know. I gotta call up the Pepsi company.
That's the fuel for Ghostly Talk.
The truck didn't show up this
morning.
We
didn't get pizza today either, man. What's up with that?
I started my diet today.
Oh.
Yep. I'm doing Atkins. Well, the Atkins diet, anyway.
Well, me and Will can get pizza still.
No.
We can just sit there and go, God, this pizza. Oh, my God. Doug, you don't know what you're missing, man. Oh, my God, this is wonderful. I just watch you.
Yeah, when I'm in my Speedo at the picnic. All right, I won't do that to you guys.
All right.
That would be scary. I know, I saw you like,
what?
Fell over. Yeah, that was scary.
I didn't
put
fall.
That image
I would fall.
Said.
So you look fine.
Uh-huh. All right. As long as it was a full body length Speedo.
All right, thanks. All right,
now,
let's scratch the pizza this week then.
Good, good. Because I am on my diet. I'm trying. Anyway.
And we have to be sensitive to your needs, Doug.
Please.
All right. Anyways, kids. Children, indigo children, colors, all kinds of good stuff going on today.
Yeah, we covered a lot of
we
stuff.
We really have.
So I think,
really
you know,
have.
That's it. We're done, right?
Yeah, let's just go home.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
who's
let's
that?
Keep talking. Oh, all, right.
All right,
here
all
we
right,
go.
Right.
First of all, I want to say again, the Cluster Club for Zero Point Radio.
Yeah.
It's in full effect, but we don't have, evidently there's not enough cluster people because it's, some people are saying that it's cutting out and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in donating some bandwidth to Zero Point Radio and keeping us and Zero Point Radio on the air, consider joining the Cluster Club. Email zpr@cableone.net. That's cableone.net. And that goes directly to Burns himself. And he can hook you up and set you up and, you know, get you in the cluster.
You get something. I
yeah.
don't know. I'm not the spokesman for RF Burns. So.
I hear they're going to get special privileges.
You get a new car!
Yeah, if it's like a Matchbox.
Nice way to get Burns.
But no, I think it's for a while anyway. It's going to be volunteer.
Yeah, out of the goodness of your heart.
Yes, and then eventually we're going to, you know, work into more of a business model. But I, you know, I don't know. It's all VPR.
It's all corporate.
Nah, unfortunately, all I do is a little show, and
yeah.
I love it. And then, of course, the ZPR chat rooms. www.zeropointradio.com. Click on interact. Go down to chat. Make up a name and visit with us.
Yeah.
We're in the chat rooms
yeah.
now, as is a lot of folks. Folks from Soul Java Spirit Cafe. Folks from ghostwatchers.org. The ZPR folks.
We're raising their, their chatting it up, talking away about the subject tonight.
Yeah, the subject tonight. The kids.
Mm.
Kids and ghosts and things like that. I had always heard that kids could see ghosts more easily than adults.
Well, yeah. We've talked about the reasons why, well, indirectly, when you're a child, well, when you're new to this world, you're just a regular kid, you're not an indigo child, you're not a crystal child or anything like that. When you're a child, before this programming takes effect or it takes its toll on your mind.
Right.
I personally don't remember seeing anything or seeing any dead relatives or seeing any guardian spirits when I was a child. Honestly, I don't remember seeing anything.
I don't
like that.
Remember it either. Yeah, I
don't
remember that.
I
remember getting, you know, flashes of intuition and things like that.
Yeah.
And you know, that was all explained away as coincidence.
Uh-huh. But it's been theorized. This is the biggest theory that can back this up, is that when you're a child like that, you don't have these. And we've said this 1,000 times on this show. Excuse me. You don't have these filters yet.
Right.
You're open to everything.
You're open to a lot more input. You don't know what to filter out. You don't know what is socially acceptable yet.
Exactly.
To filter out and you know, and not to filter out.
And over time, obviously, that we talked about the parents coming in. There's no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as ghouls and goblins or whatever you want to call them. Go to sleep.
You know? Right.
I mean, by no means are Doug and I condemning any parent for saying that that's your child and you do what you think is best for your child. We'll back you up 100% on that. But this is something to think about, though, for parents out there. Depending on how old your children are right now, if you want to maybe think about a different way of approaching this, possibly, because we could very well be on a spiritual crossroad right now. And wouldn't you like to see your kid be a part of that?
Right. I mean, why not? Be more spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody goes to, you know, if you go to church, you go on Sundays, and then that's it for the week. You know, that kind of thing. And that's how spiritual folks are. And although a lot of people do accept, you know, Jesus and accept the, you know, all these different, you mm-hmm. know, religious figures into their lives, and they walk with them all the time and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people who live like that. But spiritual, like, you know, growing the next version of the human race, you know, if it really is a war in the heavens and the Indigo children are the next thing, why shut down all of your abilities?
Why install those filters?
Just because society accepts that more.
Yeah.
You know.
I think, like I said, I think a lot of it comes down to frustration. It really does, on an everyday level for a parent. You have to do this to a child. Look, and we said this before, you have to be safe. You are safe in your home. You are safe here. Nothing's going to hurt you here. But transversely, it goes to, well, what if a burglar breaks in? Sheila said that earlier. What if a burglar breaks in? How safe is the kid going to feel? It all ties in together. It all ties together.
I still think, though, you can't, because of that should hopefully be a fairly rare event, because that's a, you know, a human being or some human beings acting, you know, illegally.
Yeah.
That's illegal. That's society. So even in an enlightened society,
mm-hmm.
if someone breaks into your house, I mean, come on. That's illegal. That's bad.
Well, yeah, that's not socially acceptable.
No.
But if you're a 4 or 5 year old child, and I mean, this is what I do. I do understand this. If you're a 4 or 5 year old child, and you've been told by your parents point blank, this is your home, and you're safe in this home. If they just say that,
well, I don't care if you're a 50 year old child.
Uh-huh.
Well, former child. And somebody breaks into your house, you're going to feel violated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a break-in, I mean, a physical act like that on the physical realm is going to be, you know, it's not...
Yeah, but can a child understand the difference between the physical plane and the ethereal plane at that point in their lives if they're 4 or 5 years old? If a parent just says, you're safe, this is your home. I mean, it's very hard for a parent at 3 o'clock in the morning to go, you're safe, this is your home, from the ethereal world. You're safe, you're fine. But the physical world, may be a problem there.
Well,
there's a difference. There's a real
difference,
and we both know that.
Yeah.
That's what I've been thinking about this whole show, is that point alone right there going, you know, how would you approach this? If you want your child to be spiritual, you want them to understand what there is to understand about the ethereal realm, what we theorized, so to say.
Right.
Or what your personal beliefs may be, too. But still, at the same time, have them to be able to grasp and understand that,
and then also,
the world's an evil place.
And then also understand that in the physical,
the physical
realm,
world.
there's dangers as well.
How do you
balance that? That's a good question.
That's a real problem right there. I mean, I'm not a parent, but I could see that if you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to cover all the bases, so to say.
Yeah.
Is the kid going to understand that?
But when you do things. Do you often do things to cover every single base? I mean, I don't think writing or raising your children should be like writing a legal document.
No, you're right.
You know, in the event of, you know, an earthquake, this and that. In the event of a sandstorm, this and that. In the event of, you know, Atlantis rising, this and that. I mean, they cover every single base.
Stupid cell phone. Sorry.
They cover every single base in legal documents because,
I agree.
You know, agreements between two parties and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, you can't cover every contingency. You know, this is your home. You are safe here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, do you have to then also say, you know, but in the event of a break-in, that's on the physical plane. You know,
my question is, the confusion that may occur if a parent just says, you're safe, this is your home.
Right.
There's a ghost in my room. Oh, I can't sleep. There's a ghost. Okay, fine. You're safe. This is your home. Go to sleep.
Maybe.
And then a couple hours later, Barney the burglar walks in and steals your house blind. That's where I'm having a little problem here. And I do agree with you, though.
But you can't...
You can't raise your kids like you're setting up a legal document. You can't do that.
Right. And you can't raise your kids in fear of terrorism. You can't raise
no,
your
you
fear
can't.
In fear of, you know, accidents and things like that that happen. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, the... You know, physical, real dangers of the world. It just happens. But you can't raise them to be afraid of that stuff either.
But theoretically speaking,
and you can't live your life like
yeah,
it's going
to
happen.
Can't, no, just to shift gears a little bit, but keep it within this realm. Okay, let's say we went completely to the opposite. We have the parents over here. No ghosts. Go to sleep. What do you think may happen if you had a set of parents that raised their kid to acknowledge and embrace it at all times?
Well, all right, yeah, good question. In school, when they're in society,
yeah,
they're going to be shunned and tortured,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they share their beliefs. And it's going to be absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I'm not talking about necessarily running around and doing missionary work. I'm talking about just acknowledging, Mother, I can't sleep, there's a ghost in my room. Well, listen, there very well may be a ghost in your room, but that ghost won't hurt you. But I want you to acknowledge that. If you hear something funny, or if you feel a cold spot on the side of your face, like Sheila said,
mm-hmm.
or something tucks you in bed,
yeah.
and you don't see what's tucking you in bed, just acknowledge that and say thank you.
Yeah, thank you, but this
and
is my
keep,
time,
yeah.
I need to go away.
And you
now.
Keep that
yeah.
barrier open, you keep it open, you don't...
Well, I
shove those filters in there.
My own instinct is that when they grow to be adults, that they'll be able to read all this paranormal stuff that I read,
mm-hmm.
and actually understand a lot more of it than I do.
Yeah, I mean, because we hear stories, they may actually have the answers.
And
if you did
they might
that
have
to
the
it.
Answers, they might even have, you know, experiences that back up these things.
Exactly. That's what I. That's a long process, obviously. What, 18 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what would be the outcome of that child's life as far as, like, 18 years ago? Would they be a different person? Could they have, over that time, because they're opened up, they're wide open. I mean, that's another thing Stacy talked about. I don't want to get into too much depth, but she had a time in her life also where, I mean, she's like my age.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, somebody just knocked the filter out of her head, knocked the barrier down.
Yeah.
And all that information started going through her.
And she suffered information overload.
Yeah, and
yeah.
she literally, I mean, there, you know, she was out of it. She was out of commission.
Yeah.
Out of commission. I mean, I don't want to get into too much detail, but when you're that, I mean, your filter, you've been shut off for what? 16 years. You've been shut off for 16 years, and all of a sudden, whammo! Yeah, we're going to let you have all of it now. How do you take that? I talked about that, we discussed that one night at Big Boy. If you're a blind person, you've been blind for, what, 20-something years? Let's say 25 years you've been blind. And all of a sudden, somebody finds some miraculous surgery or cure that can instantaneously bring you back to sight. Full sight, we got good eyes, we can see each other very well. Whammo. What do you think would happen? And it's been theorized that if that actually happened to you, where you just regained sight out of nowhere, you would literally suffer information overload and have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Your body would just be like, I can't handle this much data. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to react to it. What do I do? We've been raised, you know, when you're a baby, you gradually, you know, your eyes are shut for so long, and then you open them a little bit more, and you open them a little bit more, and you gradually go into that where your mind can accept all the details. Around here in the Haunted Basement Studios, I mean, there's billions of little details and things that I can look at and look at the crack in the wall. And look,
right,
I mean,
and we've learned mostly to ignore most of them.
Yeah, because
yeah.
they're insignificant. They
right.
really are. But you don't know what's insignificant if you've been blind for 25 years, and all
and
of a sudden, whammo, you can see.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for this type of information overload spiritually. If you're cut off for X amount of years, and all of a sudden somebody just says, hey, let me just pull this thing out. Here comes all this information. How do you handle that? Can you survive that, too? I mean, we may all be indigo children. Me and you may be indigo children. We don't know it.
Yeah,
we
got filters.
We have filters
yeah.
in our heads. We both, I mean, my parents did it, and I don't blame them for that. They were just trying to do the right thing. And I'll never condemn them for that. I got plenty of other things to condemn them for. Why not?
Oh, come on. Your mom's
no,
so cool.
They're cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's something to think about, though. I mean, what if you took a child and said, I'm going to raise you from the ground up to acknowledge anything that is anomalous in your life that you can't explain? not just say there's no such thing as ghosts. It was just, you know, here's a coincidence. It happens sometimes. It's not deja vu. It's not karma. All these things. You have to acknowledge these things. How would that child grow up?
Well, I think they'd be a lot more spiritually enlightened than I would.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because there's always that, you know, I have my beliefs, you have your beliefs. But, I mean, I still, to this day, and I hate to say it, but I still go, you know, well, I spent 8 years being an atheist anyways. I mean, I still go to this day going, you know, I still understand what those guys are saying. I still understand what the other side is saying, going, look, man, I'm going to believe in something I don't see.
Yeah, I don't like being closed-minded like
that. I don't like being closed-minded like that either, but I'm still going, you know, that's an interesting point to say that. And I'm opening up to accept that, even though I have different beliefs. So, it just depends, I guess, on what kind of parent you are. How are you going to approach it? But what if you're that type of parent, though? Acknowledge it all. Take it all in. Take it in gradually, as opposed to one day you're laying in bed watching Beavis and Butthead, and all of a sudden, whammo! You just like get hit with all everything. I mean, what's the name for it? There's no name for that either. I mean,
just psychic information.
Psychic data, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm fried.
Well, I also have heard. Here's another, you know, nugget we can chew on.
Okay.
Good chewing sound there. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I had read a story on the internet, and I needed to find it and print it out, but of course I didn't. So I'm going on my, you know, poor memory again.
Oh boy.
Some children seem to be, and this is aside from or in addition to indigo children, crystal children, all that kind of thing. It's been noticed that children are sometimes capable of remembering past lives. Now, past life regression is something I really would love to have done to me, right? One of my things I asked for Christmas was, you know, to get a past life regression thing done. But it didn't happen. You know, I ended up getting something else. So what happens is I had read this story. This child, and I don't remember where he was able to describe to his parents and to a psychiatrist and things like that his life as it existed when he was living like a couple blocks away. And he could name names and dates and just all kinds of things. So he could, but the kid, you know, had never been over on that street, or the kid had never been, you know, in that other house. But he could name all these different things. He, like, really could back up what he said with facts.
Oh.
And there's other children out there, too, who remember things from previous lives. And I would love to get a past life regression done on me, because I never could.
Well, children. It's like, you know, we mentioned this on the break. What are you going to talk about now? I don't know. Your children, past life regression with children. Could it just be something as simple as, well, you know, I have a whole life here, and I start at, you know, birth, and I go along my timeline, and I die. Okay? And, okay, what reincarnation, we want to use that theory for this one?
Right, well,
okay,
that's
where it basically is, yeah. Then I die, and then I'm reincarnated.
Yes.
And then I start living another life.
Right.
Could it be that we have, let's just try to picture this like I'm one of those, let's just picture it as a line. Okay.
A timeline.
It's a timeline, okay. Just something to illustrate. Timeline, you die. And then you go to wherever your spirit or soul goes to the next physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that those two elements of time right there, from death of your last life to birth of your new life within the first maybe 10 years of your new life, could it be that they're just so close together that you might naturally remember them?
Well, that's part of reincarnation theory as well. But at the same time, you're supposed to not remember your past life.
Yeah, that's what I've always read. Is you're not supposed to remember that at all.
Yeah, you're not supposed to remember. Yet, it seems like your past lives are in your subconscious anyway, because evidently folks can, you know, be hypno-regressed or whatever through hypnosis,
mm-hmm.
and they can, you know, regress back into, you know, remember back before they were born.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, then you know, it must be stored and available somewhere to you.
That's the question, is like, what triggers that to where you will start remembering your past life? And is it a fact that if you never are, how I say, pleasured with that experience as a young child, and you just grow up to be a teenager, and then a young adult, and then an adult, and then a middle-aged, whatever, do you get so far away from in the timeline of your past life that naturally you're just going to forget it?
Well, I think by then you've already, you know, decided that's not important.
I mean, what if we only have
right
30, what if we only have 30 gigs of hard drive space to work with, okay? And I mean, we have a lifetime. We're building another lifetime of experiences, values, morals, whatever, and we just don't have the mental space to keep the past life stuff in there. We don't need it anymore. It don't matter. Kick it out.
Well, I don't know if that happens because even elderly folks have, you know, gone through hypnosis to remember previous lives.
Yeah. It could be that it's just, it is stored in a certain part of your brain
and
that has to be accessed.
And normally you don't access it. But the kids talk about it as if, you know, some kids, not many, but some kids talk about it as if it was, you know, yesterday.
No big deal.
Because it was yesterday.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're so young in their life.
Yeah, they don't know not to access
What if that screen, that filter that gets put in place as we grow up, blocks us off from that, too?
Right.
And that could be another thing, way to look at it.
Consciously. Subconsciously, you can still access it.
Yeah. But, you know.
Good question.
What do you do when you're sleeping or whatnot? Is there something we need to look at?
No, I'm just wondering if it was because it's past 8:30 now.
Oh, well, I figured we'd just go with it.
Yeah?
Because we were just talking, and Will wanted to go to a break, and I'm like, you know, we're talking here, and I mean, are you people cool with that?
Yes,
we're cool with it. Okay, so yeah.
So kids can remember their past. Some kids can remember their past lives as if they were, you know, like your memory of going to the store earlier or driving over here.
Kid, I can't remember what I did last night.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just find that to be fascinating. So we've got the indigo children. We've got children who can remember past lives. Children who can see ghosts. Whether that's the same as indigo children or different, I don't know, because unfortunately indigo children sort of covers the whole gamut, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I hate to bring this in, but it does tie in, loosely. When we were at that particular house, Will, you can help me with this, the house we brought Kelly to, and went up into the attic.
Okay.
What was the name of that house? What do we call that house?
Millie's house.
Millie's house. I actually heard it burn down, and they can't find Millie either. That's what Lisa told me.
I haven't heard it from Lisa.
Yeah, well, okay. We'll talk about that after the show. We know that, I mean, we went upstairs.
You went up in the attic.
I actually stood with Kelly, and I ran some EVPs. And we came back down. I was talking with Millie herself, and I'm like, you know, has anything weird happened? She's like, well, the cats and the dogs seem to follow something around in the living room. And they're literally follow something around until it comes to, you know, if something will come to a stop and they'll stop with it and they'll just sit down. But then all of a sudden, after a couple minutes, they'll jump back up again and start following. They'll walk around the living room aimlessly, it looks like, you know, for no reason whatsoever. Could it be also that same case that, well, a canine or a feline don't have these filters? Because they only live, how long does a cat live? They can live, actually, for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure they live, you know, what, 12 years or something? Like,
yeah.
Dogs live around, you know, what, 8 to 12
years.
Yeah,
but dog years is, what, 7 years to every 1 year.
Well,
that's
yeah.
That's dog years. They age a lot quicker. But as far, I mean, okay, compare and contrast, Scott. As far as years, though, they die at a very young age, according to
us. Compared to us, yeah.
So, maybe, yes, of course, their physical body, yeah, it ages 7 years to our 1 year. But what about their physical body, their spiritual body, if they have one? Do they have, is it these filters, the same issue with a canine or a feline animal also?
Well, what's interesting is animals don't, they have different kinds of senses too, because they can, some can smell better, some can see some see worse, some can't taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have different physical senses as well as, you know, spiritual senses,
yeah.
I suppose. But they do have access to outside stimuli.
Uh-huh.
just like children, just like adult humans.
Well, we've heard story after story
the cat jumped up.
The cat freaked out, went nuts. I mean, to be honest with you,
do they have access to that information?
Well, yeah. Do they have access to that? I mean, I've seen firsthand what cats do.
Yeah.
When I thought there was a spirit in the room, and the cat literally was just like, I'm like, what are you hissing at, man? What is your deal? As far as the age goes,
let's find out. See if the caller knows.
All right. Good evening. You're on Ghostly Talk.
All right, it's Jeff.
Well,
hey,
all right, Phobos.
Hey, you were missing in action, Phobos.
I know. I sort of caught the chat room there, and it was all frozen up on me. I didn't realize. I thought no one's there, and I wasn't. So, it must be ages till Ghostly Talk goes on. I noticed the time go by.
Well, no, we've been on for a while now, and you've been missing in action. We're evidently testing the cluster we're doing the cluster kind of thing now with Zero Point Radio.
Excellent.
Yeah, so can you hear the show? Has it been cutting out on you?
Well, there was a little bit, but no, it's going okay. I mean, I'll be able to add the UK side of it too as well soon. I mean, we've got one server ready to go, and one server that will come as soon as there's some change at this end. So there'll be two that we can put on.
Man, hooking it up, man.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
We're hurting for bandwidth right now.
So have you been listening to the show? Have you gotten to listen to anything?
Well, no, I managed to catch last 10, 15 minutes anyway.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, because we did talk a little bit of a wrap-up of what we were talking about. Indigo children seeing ghosts, children remembering past lives, things like that. What's up with that?
Wow. I mean, I did think of something from my own childhood, which I've always interpreted one way. I suppose it's because my science approach, but I did, whilst hearing you, actually think of another way of interpreting what I'd experienced. I've lucid dreamed a little bit in the past. I wasn't going to go mentioning that, but it just so happened that lucid dreaming happens, as you know, when you remember something in a dream is not normal, and then you realize, that's because, and then you're asleep. You've realized you're asleep, and so you're taking charge. But because I had to sort of, I don't know, the experimenting with lucid dreaming, if you want to call it that, I did sort of reflect on dreams in a sort of different way to what might normally happen. And I recalled that as I'd been dreaming, the town which I lived in, I hadn't sort of fully explored as a small child, but I had in my dreams explored it a lot more. Now, all the roads and that were laid out differently, and every time I went back to my dreaming, they were laid out in this way which didn't really exist. I mean, I might get to learn what the real way they were organized was, but it wasn't that way in reality. Yet, still my dreams would show it in this other layout. Now, I'd always said, that's just the inventive mind in a dream, just laying things out in a different way. But maybe that was in my case, but perhaps for some people, there's a little bit more going on, and that they're actually remembering a past memory from past life. I'm not saying that's actually what's happening, but it's an interesting angle. I mean, how many things from dreams and so on have you come across which you've just assumed, that's just your inventive mind coming up? In actual fact, it might be some sort of past memory.
Well, after the purple elephant walked across the road into the greenhouse that exploded, I didn't really get much else after that last night. My dreams, I've been having the more we talk about this kind of stuff, as far as, lucid dreaming, for example, the more I'm starting to become more in tune with my dreaming, too. And I'm starting to really take notice, and I'm getting visuals now. I'm remembering and retaining a lot more in my conscious life, and I'm able to actually put it into words. I knew exactly what was going on. I saw exactly everything that was going on, but I couldn't really put it into words. Now I can name names, I can name locations. As far as your example goes, the road's changing every time you go there. I mean,
well, wasn't especially not, every time you went there, it was just that in the dream world, those were laid out differently. They were the same every time I'd get there. They were consistent with the previous dream, but they weren't consistent with
your.
But of course, what if the history of the town, they were laid out that way?
So it was consistent when you went there every time, but it was different compared to what you experienced in your childhood.
In reality, yeah. Well, what as far as kids go, is that yet another access medium to previous lives or future lives or, you know, alternative realities? Is that what we're thinking?
I wouldn't sort of say, oh, well, this is cast iron proof of, unless I sort of came across some map and then said, oh, look, I really did have that arrangement once upon a time. I'm more or less pointing it as an example as to typical, the way we'll say, oh, well, that's just our imagination or something. And you're not actually looking at them, maybe there are other alternatives.
I wonder if kids tend to remember their dreams better than adults. I didn't look it up. I have no clue. I'm just wondering.
I was one of those kids that would shut my eyes and then wake up and it was daylight.
Oh, you don't remember dreams when you were a kid?
That's the one thing I do remember about my dreaming, because I didn't have any.
Oh,
I would just close my eyes and whammo, I woke up and the birds were chirping.
I've always had a very active dream life.
It's the older I get, the more active it seems to get, especially now, like I said, that I'm really taking notice of it, and I'm starting to think a lot more, and I think that might be triggering, it might be pulling down the filter in my brain, who knows, you never know.
It's interesting, actually, because I did say I experimented with lucid dreaming as a child, and curiously, that actually, I came up with some conclusions on that, because what I found is that when you lucid dream, you have access to your waking time memory, which you don't seem to have normally in a normal dream. Conversely, when you wake up, you remember what happened while you were lucid dreaming a lot easier than a standard dream. So there seems to be an implication there that maybe the way your memory works is it organizes itself differently from the different consciousness levels, i.e. some of your memories from your conscious are available while you're conscious, and others are available from your subconscious to your subconscious while you're dreaming. Different levels of consciousness.
My head just exploded. Shut up.
No, I believe that as well, because I have had lucid dreams.
Yeah.
And I've had non-lucid dreams as well. And I am conscious at least part of the day. So I've been, you know, been looking at my memory from the various angles, and that's true. In a lucid dream, you seem to have access to your faculties.
In fact, for me, it became a bit of a problem, because, as I said, I was exploring the fun of being in a lucid dream where you could do what you like, but it was only after I'd been doing it a little while I realized, actually, it wasn't all good news. I was sort of, on the odd occasion, I'd be in a conversation with someone, and I'd be about to say something, and then I'd sort of pause, because what I was about to say, I wasn't absolutely sure it actually happened, because I couldn't remember whether this was what happened while I was awake or while I was asleep.
Well, the one thing I get, and this goes back to what we were saying earlier, though, this flow of data that comes in, or if you're the blind man can see now.
Yeah.
We look around this room right now, there's so many insignificant things that will have no impact on my life whatsoever. That little connector over there, whatever thingy, or those two batteries. I don't need those batteries. I have plenty of batteries on my own, but that particular battery right there in time and space right here has no effect on my life whatsoever. I find that when I lucid dream, the most insignificant things in my conscious life, mainly people, mainly people, I gotta be honest with you, mainly people that I just consider, really I don't like them, but that means they're insignificant to me. They don't mean anything to me. I don't want to deal with them. They always find their way into my dreams. And they are the central focus of my dreams. People that would have no, whether I like them or not, that would have no effect on me whatsoever if they were not here or if they were here, have this huge effect on me, it seems like, when I'm in dreamland, or whatever you want to call it.
I've noticed that as well. In lucid dreams, insignificant things
become very significant.
More significant.
Very significant, yes.
Yeah. And whether they're real things or dreamed up things, they are dreamt up things, they are, you know, what should consciously be insignificant are, you know, even though you're conscious and you're conscious that you are dreaming, and but suddenly things become so significant that, you know, aren't really have anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with lucid dreaming, you've got, you do have, there is this point in time where suddenly you realize, and what Phobos was talking about, there is this point in time, and in his example, it was like right in the middle of a sentence, or you know, just at the beginning of a sentence, where he was going to say something, and suddenly, boom, he is like aware of his consciousness. And his consciousness, you know, brings back all his normal memories. And because you're so close to your lucid, now lucid dream, you also remember what was in the dream as well. What was real, what's not.
So actually, there was an amusing end to that, because I did actually have one lucid dream at the end of a series of them, where I was sort of in the middle of this nice lucid dream, and the alarm clock went off, and you know, I was enjoying that.
I remember that.
You know, the usual things. What I didn't realize is I was still asleep.
Oh, really?
Subconscious mind had played a trick on me. It made me think that the alarm clock had gone off, that I was getting out of bed. But now, of course, I was in normal dream mode.
Oh, you were dreaming. God. You woke up from
a lucid dream. I woke up.
So you woke up out of a lucid dream into a real dream.
So you were late for work that day, right?
Or school.
Sounds like Grindhouse Day, doesn't it?
Yeah. School that day. Yeah, you had to have been late for something, because I know I've had those experiences too, where, for example, when I was younger, my friend used to come to my window and knock on my window in the morning when we wanted to go out and play and stuff like that. Well, one morning I'm crashed out, nice and cozy in my bed, my black hole sheets, the black hole movie. I had a big black hole sheet set. It was sweet.
Cool.
So I was wrapped up in those things really good, and I was comfortable. It's summertime. Well, what do I have to do? I'm like 12 years old, right? And I remember my friend knocking on the window. And in my dream, I was hammering something. I had a hammer, and I was hitting something with a hammer. And this went on for a while, and he's like, come on, nobody went, let's go out. And he's beating on the window.
But you were happily building your birdhouse or
yeah, I was,
in your dream.
He's whacking something with a hammer, and finally I woke up, and I'm like, and all of a sudden I heard, dun, 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 and I knew this, I'm familiar with the sound of my window being rapped on. So I'm like, oh, wow.
But your dream state translated the external, like, real information into...
Maybe I wanted to hit him with a hammer because he was waking me up.
Good question.
I just want to beat him, stupid.
But I've had that, too. I've had it where my most infamous or memorable dream about that kind of thing is when I woke up, my alarm clock was going off, so I turned it off, but it wouldn't turn off. And so I unplugged it, and it was still going. And I got up out of bed, I threw it down the stairs, and it was laying shattered in pieces, and it was still buzzing. It was a buzzing alarm clock. And then I really woke up. So I, you know, was asleep. I woke up into a dream that my alarm clock, of what was really happening. So in the dream state, I turned off my alarm clock, but it, you know, it was a dream alarm clock.
I think we just call that wishful thinking. I'm just going to turn the alarm clock off, and I'm going to go back to sleep.
10 more minutes.
Because I don't need to go to work.
I want 10 more minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's very common, apparently, between us three here, that something like that would be translated.
Oddly, actually, you reminded me of something I saw on the television years ago with a comedian called Bill Oddie, but it wasn't a comedian, a comedy, it was a real experiment they did. They were doing dream research. They used to do that years ago for a very long time. And Bill Oddie is also famous for a number of things, but he's well known on television, and so they thought he would make a good subject. They put him into bed, and once he was asleep, well, after he'd slept, I should say, they'd ask him what he dreamt about, and he was saying, oh, he was canoeing on a raft and all this lot. Now, what he didn't know is that, well, he knew he was being video recorded, but he didn't know that they actually did something to him while he was asleep. All the time he was dreaming, they were dripping drops of water on his face.
Oh my God.
So it's curious, though, that did seem to have an effect on his dream.
Mm-hmm.
That he was canoeing.
Yeah.
And he was getting
water
splashing up on his face. Yeah.
Oh, that makes you wonder whether, like, with that, with your friend tapping on the window, you hadn't been watching Salem's Lot or something the previous night.
Oh my God, you didn't say that. Come on, man. That movie scares the crap out of me. That scene, oh no. That has got to be one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen in any horror movie in my life, is when that kid is tapping on that kid's window.
And floating up.
Oh my God, shut up, man. I'm going home. Goodbye.
Yes, parents, do not let your kids watch Salem's Lot.
Salem's Lot is... hands down, one of the scariest movies on the planet. Oh, why'd you bring that up for? I'm not able to sleep
now
tonight.
Now he's going to have nightmares.
Oh, my God. I'm a big kid, too, you know. I mean, speaking of children, I'm still a big kid, and I have problems with that stuff sometimes. Okay, I'm kidding.
So what in your research, really quick, because we're down to like 6 minutes.
Oh,
so,
man.
What in your research, because you've been around the block in the paranormal world, right?
Mm-hmm.
What in your research have you studied about kids?
Well, it's tricky because, I mean, I was going to mention about REM sleep, maybe. That was mentioned there. But children haven't come across an awful lot. I mean, I was mainly quoting from my own memories. Because,
yeah.
You know.
And that's good. I mean.
But you think about as an adult. Now, normally, as a child, it was a little different and I tended to self-analyze a bit more. That's why I was maybe subject to lucid dreaming. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I think that's what you had an edge on everybody else, because I think I was more concerned with watching cartoons at the time. I really was. I didn't really think about lucid dreaming when I was a child.
I think I've always had a natural curiosity, and so when you're curious about why things are all the time
during your
waking time, if you happen to be asleep, you don't stop, do you? So,
no.
I mean, I'd see something, it didn't make sense, and I'd really want to work out why did such and such a thing happen. And so as soon as you realize, I must be asleep, then you take charge. Or at least you've got that option.
That's the cool thing about lucid dreams. I do enjoy lucid dreams
absolutely.
When they happen.
Absolutely.
But I don't have them as often as I'd like, you know.
Well, I think we all like
the other thing is, I didn't want to repeat what you might have gone over because I did miss a bit. But, I mean, there's a lot of reports of where people, I think, one example, Little House on the Prairie. No, it was supposed to be based on, I think that was the one. Not that one. It was the one with the Waltons. That's it.
Oh, the Waltons.
Walton was a real writer, and his sister genuinely had a paranormal experience while she was in her early teens, reminiscent of Carrie, but not quite so
dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I do hear that there are reports that children do seem to be able to be conduits to poltergeists. And
that that's statistically,
there's another thing that we did not mention during this in this whole thing.
That's more in the teen years, though. That's more not necessarily childhood. That's more, I mean, a poltergeist, it probably could tie in somewhere, but that is more, I think we said statistically it's females like 17 to like 25. That's like the biggest that's the biggest margin they found where that the most of them were packed into that margin of ages.
Well, perhaps you're talking about stages of development at that age. You're seeing effects whereby, yes, you're seeing poltergeist-type effects. But perhaps at other ages, you're seeing different effects.
Possibly,
or you've learned to filter out anything. You know, you've filtered out anything paranormal out of your life, and so you just don't cause anything to happen anymore.
Yeah, but maybe. Well, here's something to think about: poltergeists. Thank you for bringing that up. We got a couple minutes to talk about it, at least.
Thank heavens.
A poltergeist. We, like I just said a minute ago, statistically from the research, 17-25 females. Okay. What if a poltergeist is a manifestation of all this stuff going on earlier in their life, and fortunately, well, unfortunate in their case, the barrier was never put in there?
Well, that means in like about 10 years, 10 to 15 years or so, we're going to have just oodles of poltergeists to investigate.
Yeah, exactly.
If the Indigo Children thing is happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, what if that is part of it, where that's where the poltergeist phenomena would tie in, that there are no barriers, they would never had them installed when
right.
they were younger, so now they're older, and these spirits find them out and go, hey, there's one.
Well, we'll find out in 8 to 15 years.
Yeah. So that's something to think about also, is that does that tie into that? Unfortunately, we couldn't talk more about that.
Well, I didn't even think about it until Phobos brought it up.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Phobos.
It's a totally different branch you could bring into that. You're running low on time, though. But,
yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Well, there's the researcher, John Hutchison. Now, he's brought about what's been called the Hutchison effect. It's been pretty much accepted by science, although it is fringe. And it's the equipment that he's used that's produced this effect, which I'll explain in a moment, has often been called the poltergeist machine.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Strange
effects, not just levitation, but metals entering into wood without damaging or burning the wood and things like that.
He can move, levitate, you name it. I saw that on a special one night. This gentleman, well, this guy's he's a crazy looking guy too, isn't he, Phobos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's a Canadian. They're all crazy. It's just for alpha.
Oh no, I think you've just been demonized.
No, this guy was brilliant. This guy was very brilliant. I saw the special on this, and this gentleman was moving, I mean, things as heavy as bowling balls off the ground.
Yeah,
by themselves. And it was a poltergeist machine. So
I've also read the other side of the story as well, that he cannot reproduce the stuff in front of other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
know. Can do it in front of a camera, but he can't do it in front of other people. So I've read you know, the opposing story as well, because I did indeed go and, because you mentioned that on an earlier show, the Hutchison effect, and I did go to those links, and I did do some research, and I did some Google searches, of course, and there is the other camp as well.
Well, it is worth researching the other camp, but
No, guess what?
We gotta go. We're done.
It is 9 o'clock.
Sorry, Phobos.
Time, Phobos.
Yeah, we gotta get off, unfortunately, Phobos. Thanks for calling in, though. We appreciate it always.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you in the chat room.
Sure.
Bye. Bye. Wow.
Another hot show.
Man, think about this stuff, people. I got nothing more to say. Doug.
Me either. www.zeropointradio.com. www.ghostlytalk.com.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to